This spinoff of my Taking Back Birth podcast is called Walk and Talk. It was about time that me, Marin, and Indie Birth co-founder Margot got together in an informal, regular, talk show type format to talk about whatever's on our minds. We'll talk about the ideas and topics that bring us together as midwives, women, and best friends. Stay tuned as we literally walk and talk about whatever comes up for us in this episode. We welcome your ideas or suggestions too, so be sure to leave us a review on iTunes and let us know what subjects you want to hear.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, did you listen? Go ahead.
I'm fixing my snow pants because they were falling off of me.
Oh, no. I was going to ask you if you heard the silly music I picked for this podcast.
I did.
It reminded me of Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. I realized subconsciously that's what I did. Like, I picked like-minded music because we're kind of like doing the same idea. So thanks,
yeah.
Jerry.
Midwives in the woods talking about birth.
Oh, man. So what do you want to talk about today?
I don't know. It's such a beautiful day here. I think we should talk about food stuff.
Food stuff. Food is always good.
We don't talk about it enough.
I know. I think we're some of the most, like, food-obsessed midwives that probably exist, or else no one else talks about it or wants to talk about it. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's high on the priority list for whatever reason.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, what are you experiencing? What's been going on in your neck of the woods, so to speak?
My literal neck of the woods. Okay, I'm up my hill now.
Whew. Okay. Well, I can go if you're making it.
I think I'm good. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what I was thinking would be fun to talk about is just working with lots of different kinds of people. And
right.
I would suspect that that's part of the reason that midwives all over don't seem to be really tackling this issue. I have a few friends who, you know, had a different midwife. You know, they didn't use me, and said they really liked about their midwife that she didn't talk about food and never made her, you know, just sort of said, eat whatever you want.
Right.
It's going to be great, which is, on the one hand, great and empowering and like, yeah, if you listen to your body, that should be fine. But I feel like in our culture, it's just not realistic to think that most or even many of the people that we're working with have a long history of listening to their bodies in, like, a really deep way, so.
Yeah, I agree. I have a lot to say about, quote-unquote, intuitive eating.
Right. Well, I did a podcast with Jenna LaFlamme, who I love, and who I'm hoping one day will join us at one of our conferences/retreats.
Right.
I think her work is really, you know, it's very feminine, it's very, like, empowering, it's very, yes, like, all the things, it's good. And that was one of the questions I asked her, is, like, how do we work with women in pregnancy when nutrition is, you know, like, we really only have one shot to get it right, as opposed to, like, oh, I'm going to, like, figure this out over the course of the next 5 years.
Right.
How do we do that? And she had some good ideas, and I'll be curious someday when she has her own baby, what that feels like for her too. But yeah, I think it's, yeah, intuitive eating is great on the one hand, and then I think isn't quite enough to get us over the finish line on the other.
Right. Yeah, I have seen that here quite a bit over the years. I think stereotypically the people here are more likely to claim something like intuitive eating. And I feel like in my younger midwife days, I was all for it until you realize that that's not quite what they mean. I think, you know, it's something that sounds really nice. And we, of course, love to honor women and their intuition and what they think they know. But there's so many things in pregnancy that can obscure the view, I think, when we're talking about nutrition. Mm-hmm. So whether, you know, the Chinese perspective is one of my favorites, for example. There are sort of imbalanced reasons why somebody might not want to eat a whole group of foods, or there are imbalanced reasons why somebody may have no appetite in pregnancy. Like, these aren't actually physiological occurrences. What?
A dog was just passing me and decided he wanted to bite my cute way. Like, he wanted me to play. Like,
oh no.
Yes, he was very cute and snowy. Well,
if you hear any dogs on this end, it could happen.
Yeah, I agree. And I think part of the other really confusing part is, like, the cultural narrative around what is normal for eating in pregnancy. Like, and that's, I guess, what I mean when I'm talking about, like, how do we work with women who want to just eat intuitively, which is great, but maybe haven't peeled back some of those layers. So, like, you know, recently working with someone who is still vomiting, like, a couple times a week at halfway through pregnancy.
Wow.
And being like, hey, that might be normal for you, but that's really not as common as people like to act like it is.
I would say so, that's, like, not even normal, honestly, past, right, like, the halfway point in pregnancy.
Right, and so, like, how do you have those conversations gently with people, like, hey, maybe you were told growing up that vomiting all through pregnancy is normal, and we see that on TV, and morning sickness, ha, ha, ha. So, like, you know, let's see if there are some things we can do to minimize that. And so, yeah, I guess that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, that or this other thing that I'm dealing with here, which I don't feel like I did as much in Arizona with you, is this, like, pregnant women just want junk food joke. Like, ha, ha, I'm pregnant, so I should want Wendy's every day, and that's okay because I'm pregnant. Ha ha. Like, I want Wendy's every day, but I know that that's not my, like, deep, healthy inner self being like, that's what would make you feel good. That's
right.
A different part of my brain being like, eat all of that stuff. It's going to be awesome. And it's not true. So how to work with that, too, and not discourage people from getting enough calories, because I want them to. But how do we say, like, maybe when you want Wendy's, you actually want a grass-fed burger you make at home?
Right.
You know, or, like, how do we, without sort of taking the wind out of their sails when they, I mean, this is maybe the first time in their whole life they've given themselves permission to eat food in general. We have so much disordered eating, like, just seems normal because it's common. Doesn't make it normal.
Yeah, and it makes talking about this topic feel really disordered, which is fine. There's so many variations on this topic, depending on, I don't know, the person, where you live. I mean, here, honestly, I have people that, like, if they said they wanted to go to Wendy's, I would probably, like, cheer for them.
Right,
if it was
exactly.
Like, if it was a one-time thing, because, you know, a lot of the people here struggle with getting enough calories, and they're all about healthy eating, but to the detriment of the quantity that they are taking in. I feel like we definitely have some sort of opposite struggles. It's too bad we can't combine efforts somehow on that.
Well, yes and no. I feel like even the people here who are, you know, wanting more fast foody stuff or that sort of thing still aren't getting enough calories. And that's sort of been the confounding part to me, is
So you mean it's like they do that, that's like their meal for the day kind of thing, then?
Yeah, or like it's like their guilty pleasure, and they're like, haha, you know, I ate that for dinner. But then when I turn around and say, like, hey, you should add more butter to your meals, up your calorie intake and get some good fats, they're like, oh, really? You know, I thought butter was bad. So it's interesting being in, like, the land of dairy here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm right next to Wisconsin, the cheesehead state. And somehow this area has seemingly been, like, inundated the hardest, or maybe still just has the remnants of, like, the anti-fat thing. And so, you know, my theory is that because of that, people are more likely to, especially because it's cold here, you know, like, I know I want, like, rich, fatty, yummy food right now, and it's wintertime, and I think people are depriving themselves of that, and then it's coming out the other end as a desire for, you know, McDonald's or whatever, that, like, whatever that, like, you know, Pizza Hut.
Well, it requires so much education, which I think you are doing. I know you're trying really hard to create these workshops or to kind of, like, shift people's knowledge and views on things. And it makes me think, you know, when I did my apprenticeship, it was in the Midwest. I mean, Chicago may be a major city, but we worked mainly outside of the city in the suburbs. And the midwife I worked with didn't know anything about nutrition in a sense until she did. And, you know, she had her own sort of not as optimum pregnancy outcome with her first pregnancy. And so she was pushed to learn. And it was really cool to see, because when I started learning with her, she was really new to a lot of this information too. And of course, this was like almost 15 years ago. But she was bringing it to this population of women that truly had no idea. And her practice was awesome and the women were amazing. But outcome-wise, I feel like I did see some sort of, you know, again, not optimum outcomes due to nutrition that I really don't see anymore. I mean, like, lots of kind of awful tears. One legit case of preeclampsia, which, you know, diet couldn't even reverse. So anyway, I don't know what I'm babbling about, except she started to learn and she really, like, brought it to these women in a way they could understand. And things started to slowly change. But, you know, it was pretty stereotypical information for these women before that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen, like, a huge, and this isn't just with my clients. My clients tend to be more educated, maybe not even necessarily in, like, formal education, but, like, they just are able to educate themselves, have more foundational knowledge around all this. But, you know, I did a pregnancy workshop a couple months ago, and, you know, I've done some other workshops, and just, you know, I'm in the community trying to work with people on stuff. And so, yeah, I just see, like, this really intense fear of gaining weight, which I saw, I guess, in Arizona too, but it just feels like it's a different flavor of it here. Maybe because there are more overweight people here, it seems like.
Yeah, so what is it like? Because I actually feel like I don't see that here as much. I mean, I have women that will admit to that being a thing, but they're pretty open about it. And, yeah, I haven't seen it be a thing in a while. So tell me what it's like there.
Well, something that's been interesting is, and I have no judgment about this at all, so if you're a client who's listening, like, do you? But as a general trend, you know, at an initial visit, I'll say, like, hey, as we're going through the prenatal flow chart, I say, hey, do you want to talk about weight at all this pregnancy or not? If you don't, I'll cross this row out.
Right.
And we can talk about it if it comes up later, but just in general, you know, I'm telling you, like, we don't have to talk about that. But if you want to, we can. You know, just like everything, right? And I think so far everybody has said, yeah, let's talk about it. And this is what I was pre-pregnancy, and here's what I am now. it is cool on the one hand, but it's also, like, I don't know, just surprising to me on the other, that more people aren't like, nope, I don't care, and I don't need to even go there, you know?
Well, that's a pretty big leap, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I mean, is, like, it seems like there's still a lot, a sense that people are invested in that as a concept.
Sure, sure. But well, how would they know not to be is the question, you know? Like, you're
right.
Doing all this reforming of their thinking, but you're starting at the beginning, and people come in with what they come in with. So I tend to
right.
just tell people, like, look, I don't care about the number, but you might want to keep track. And there might be a certain point in pregnancy where we actually do care. We just, like, want to
right.
see if that's a sign of your body getting enough. I never, of course, frame
that's
it as,
I
like, I'd want to know, yeah, to make sure you're not gaining too much. No, never. I would love to know, just because some people, you know, they're 30 weeks in, and they've gained, let's hope not, 5 pounds. You know, I want to know.
Yep. Right. I agree. I know.
Yeah.
It's such a tricky thing. And, well, I think a good example of this is when we tried to do the reframing the weight discussion, like, webinar.
Right,
and
right.
And no one signed up for it.
Yeah, that has been, like, our only webinar where literally no one wanted to spend time talking about that.
Yeah, well, because I would say most midwives routinely weigh people. I don't bring a scale.
No.
I know you don't bring a scale.
No. I do have one in my office, though. And sometimes people, when they come, will want to check in. So, you know, I flow with it. Whatever.
Right. Yeah. And I think it is a good discussion to have, because usually, you know, whenever people say, like, oh, yeah, here's where I was at before, here's where I am now, and I'm writing it down, I just say exactly what you were talking about. Like, you know, I just want to make sure you're gaining enough.
Right. Right. And that, you know, that really does feature in a discussion of blood volume expansion, because blood does
right.
weigh. So, you know, I think it's appropriate for some women to completely throw away the scale. But what I think we're saying is, there's also a way to use this information to be helpful. It doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Right.
But, you know, everybody's unique. We are dealing with trauma and such around weight gain. So, you know, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a touchy subject.
Yeah, it is.
Well, on this side of the country, at least here, I can't really say this side of the country, but here, I feel like I have the opposite thing going on, where, you know, seeing that someone's gaining would be really awesome, because I feel like there's an emphasis on, again, not getting enough quantity. A topic that comes up here a lot is vegans and vegetarians, and that's
yeah.
something that really hasn't changed for me over the 10 plus years I've been here. I'd say I probably have even more vegans and vegetarians than ever. So, I don't know. I guess I don't have to babble on about that. I'm going to do a podcast today with a vegan chef friend of mine that is super informed and educated. So I'm going to pick her brain about the way to help these women the most. but in my apprenticeship, again, years and years ago, it was really a very strong bias that the midwife I had, or I worked with, had. She would not work with vegans or vegetarians at all, except for one. I remember one, and the woman was a very picture-perfect vegan and wrote down this amazing food journal. But other than that, the bias was really out there, and she just didn't feel like it was a healthy way to be pregnant. So sometimes I fight that bias, but mainly I think I just need to find better ways to work with women who have different diet types.
Yeah. Well, funny enough, maybe things are more similar here and there than I thought. It's just like a different personality of it, because, like, I've been
sure.
coming up against, I thought people here would be, and some of them are, you know, big meat eaters and the dairy thing, right? So, funny enough, I've worked with a lot of women already who, you know, in one capacity or another, maybe not as home birth clients, but who are trying out the vegan vegetarian thing, or don't call it that, but they say, like, oh, meat just doesn't sound good to me in pregnancy, kind of a thing.
Right, right, right.
Which is different, of course, but, and then, yeah, I think it's so hard because, you know, I remember I grew up in the Midwest and then lived in Arizona from when I was 10 on, and I was a vegetarian from when I was, like, 16 until I was 21, something like that.
Right, yeah.
And so I very much have personal experience, I think you do too, you've said, like, of being,
oh, I've
like,
tried it all. I've tried every single
right.
diet type out there.
But, I mean, more like, I was the Midwest vegetarian. I was a cheesetarian, is what
right.
I was.
Right.
You know, I didn't really eat vegetables. I just didn't eat meat. And so,
yeah,
I've definitely
that's quite
seen that
a
couple
thing.
Times here. And, you know, yeah, it's a totally different thing, and it's really interesting and, you know, I don't mean to, like, stereotype an entire state of people, but that seems to be more like what people mean here when they say that they're vegetarian. It's not, like, the superfoods and the juicing. Like, we do have a juice shop here. It doesn't appear that they're very busy or doing very well.
Oh, funny.
You know, and like I said, it's, like, it's a cold place. Like, we're in a very cold place.
Sure.
I'm out here in my snow pants, like...
Sure.
Like, I don't want an acai bowl right now. Like, that sounds horrible. It's so cold. And so I don't, you know, like, the raw and the vegan and the, like, the amount of time it would take to cook and be, like, a really conscientious vegan vegetarian in this climate, I feel like is just, it would be hard.
Unless, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And that's something I want to talk to Bridget about today. Because she's a phenomenal vegan cook. She's cooked for me mm-hmm. in my postpartum. And I'm not kidding. Like, if I could get somebody like that to cook for me, I could be vegan so easy. Like, I'm not biased against the diet itself. I think there's so many great qualities, you know, depending
totally.
On your own body type. And my body actually does really like it, but I don't have the time to do it the way she does. And that's
right.
kind of my overall, if I had a complaint, I mean, I don't really have a complaint about other people's diets, but with the vegans and vegetarians that I work with, it's like, yeah, it can be really an amazing way to get nutrients, but do you have the time? Do you have the access? You know, to put it simply, like, do you have the
money
to do it right?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And Bridget would say the same thing. It's expensive. I mean, when I see the kind of stuff that she's buying in bulk and processing, I mean, it's, you know, literally taking up her whole days. And she doesn't have kids, so, you know, it's working for her
in her
life.
She lives sort of in a community, right? Like,
right.
And that's part of it, too. And we should talk more about that maybe next week. We
yeah.
talk about community
yeah.
in pregnancy.
Yeah.
I agree. If I had, like, a super awesome, like, stone grinder, I would eat, like, delicious sprouted nut butters all day.
Yeah, it's absolutely, I mean, it's a luxurious way to eat. Like, her way of eating is not just, like, crunchy green salad. She's making
right.
extraordinary, amazing, creative dishes that just happen to not use any animal products. So, yeah, anyway, I wish I could get a Bridget in everybody's house that was wanting to be vegan or vegetarian, especially while pregnant, because otherwise, it's sort of defaulting to just leaving out major groups of nutrients, you know. So that's what I'm seeing, you know, more people dealing with anemias, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't generally feel like that's something we see in omnivorous diets as much, unless there's something else going on.
Right.
So that's concerning because that's like the body obviously saying, like, I'm struggling with this whole entire thing over here.
Right.
Not even just
I know,
calories.
Yeah. I mean, that makes me think of, too, like, were we talking about this recently? Just the idea that, oh, I was with a different midwife who's working with someone and they are anemic, and I said, well, what kind of anemic are they? And they're iron deficient, and, you know, like they're deficient right. in iron, and they seem to have ruled out the other possibilities. And they're like, oh, so she's taking iron supplements, you know, blood builder, whatever. And I was like, okay, great, but why is she anemic?
Right.
And, like, but, you know, like, how, like, throwing iron at the problem isn't going to fix it. It's like a normal, healthy person should not be anemic if they are eating enough high-quality food and absorbing it properly. Like, the problem isn't iron. It's that she's not eating enough in general, probably, would be my guess.
Sure.
And
sure.
iron-rich foods, of course. Like, but supplementing to me is backwards. It's like, it's the same as putting an oxygen mask on a mom when the baby's heart rate is bad. Like,
right.
It's a Band-Aid solution. It's not actually getting to the root of the problem, which I think
right.
is so interesting.
Well,
like,
yeah, and I would add that I think many midwives are just looking at, like, a hemoglobin or whatever and deferring to iron deficiency anemia when it's not.
Sure.
And, you know,
right.
I'll admit, I've done it too, and it's only through experience that, yeah, like, I'm more aware of looking at the other values and, you know, consulting the textbook if I need to, because lab values aren't something I'm doing all the time, and really
sure.
figuring out what's going on, because someone that's, you know, got a B12 deficiency, like, the iron's not necessarily going to hurt them, especially if it's food-based, but, yeah, you're not getting to the root of the problem, and that can just go downhill fast. So, you know, I'm not for lab values for everybody, but with vegans and vegetarians, it's felt more relevant, you know, to talk about that with them and to ask what they want to see, because you don't really want someone to get symptomatic too, you know, before you figure
right.
it out.
Right. Okay. Well, and that's a nice plug for, it might be too late for some people that are listening to this, but they can get the recording, I guess.
Right.
Gailhart's doing a great lab work call for us, a webinar in a couple days, 2 days from now, I guess it is, from right this moment.
Yeah, and if you miss it, I mean, the recording will be available later to buy, so if you're listening to this at any point, find Gail's lab work class on our website. Yeah, Gail's, of course, super knowledgeable, and I feel like she's been one of my main teachers with such things, you know, having her help me look at this or that, you know, to really figure out what's going on with somebody, and like you said, not just be like throwing a supplement at them.
Right.
And I don't know, I mean, it's a whole nother topic, but I've found the women here, for the most part, and the women I work with, I mean, like you do too, like, they're so amazing, and they really want to be healthy, and they're so conscientious,
yeah.
and it's just me bringing this up, and I always try and phrase it, you know, like, I had a woman the other day, it's like, hey, like, does this resonate with you, like, this, you know, this advice that I'm about to give you nutritionally, like, what do you think about it? And just having them be like, yeah, that sounds like I'll try it, and why not? Or, you know, rarely someone's like, no, I don't think so, but they're very... I mean, compliant is not the word I mean. That's like a gross word. But, like, they're very receptive.
Yeah.
Very receptive. And so it feels like a team effort. I don't feel like I'm, you know, pulling people along. And in the past, when I've had people like that, you know, who didn't want to work on whatever it was that was so obvious, even by a lab value, then they're not the people for me. They need to find someone else that doesn't care.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I always try to talk about it as, like, an experiment.
Sure.
Maybe that's the scientist in me. I don't know. But,
well, no, it is.
Yeah,
it's
just being like,
experiment.
I don't have, and I don't feel like I have, you know, and I'm sure you say the same thing, like, I don't feel like I have, like, the answers or, like, the
no.
right way to do it. And I know, like,
no.
you know, my partner gets so mad at me when, you know, I don't like mushrooms, or you know, like, I'm a super picky eater and grew up being a really picky eater, and I have a very picky 3.5-year-old, and so I know that there is no one way to do this,
no
matter, you know, even if it's just personal preference, and, like, that's why I do really like Jenna's stuff, because she talks about how, like, joyful eating
sure.
is important for our digestion, like, she links it in with the hormones, it's so fun, and it, like, totally, you know, comes back to the same stuff we talk about, she even talks about oxytocin and how, like, you know, releasing that while you're eating is a good thing and ultimately
sure.
helps you absorb the nutrients better. And her context in her book that's out is around weight loss, so not appropriate for the pregnancy conversation. And I've asked her to please someday write a pregnancy one. But I don't know where I was going with that. Other than, yeah, I, like, you know, I don't want people to feel like it's a chore either. So this balance always. Hi, doggy.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a dog on your end, not mine. Mine are being so quiet right. today.
Yeah,
I think it's, I mean, really, we could boil it down to an emotional conversation alone. And for
yeah.
each and every one of us, for ourselves, I think that's really valid. I mean, but, you know, it's hard to work with someone only on those terms. So this is why we've, you know, expanded the conversation to the other important things that we know or we think we know, physiology or, you know, science. But when it comes down to it, I'd say eating is like almost 100% emotional. And,
right.
you know, someone's attitude about what they're eating, whether they're pregnant or not, is something I've really thought about, especially with kids. I was listening to this podcast last week. Honestly, I don't even remember what podcast it was. I think it was a TED Talks. And it was something along the lines of there being research around kids and kids that are like really loved and taken care of emotionally in their homes, that what they eat is really secondary to that. And that the kids who, you know, aren't feeling emotionally stable and loved, like all the perfect diets in the world, like don't make them healthy. And
right.
you know, that's something that's really relevant here in Sedona too, because people are crazy about what their kids eat. And, you know, we have kids going to birthday
yeah.
parties and they bring their own beet cake and like, it's crazy.
Oh my God.
But, you know, it gave me something to think about because I can be controlling, especially with my
yeah.
kids. But it gave me permission to be like, you know what, I'm just going to, I mean, you know, there are limits. But nutrition can be secondary to our emotional state. And that's, you know, I think that's something that as expansive humans, like we haven't really, a lot of us, like explored. So, you know, in the end, it might not even matter
yeah.
what we're eating.
I know. That's funny. I had someone recently say, I've never felt so happy as I do now, because I ask, I have my like list of questions I ask or work into every visit, and one of them
yeah.
is like, how are you doing emotionally? So
yeah.
I used to feel really awkward asking.
Right.
It's like really point blank, like, how are you emotionally? Boo-dee-doo. Like, it felt very robotic or something.
Right.
But I feel like people generally really take it as an opportunity to share.
Sure.
Which is really cool. So anyways, I had someone say that, like, oh, I feel happier than I've ever felt.
Right.
And I thought, you're going to have such a good birth. Like, you know, and like your pregnancy is going to be, you know, yeah, there's just that feeling of like everything else really is secondary to that.
Well, yeah, that's like so resonant for me too. With the people I work with, like if somebody's emotional state is seeming really, you know, as stable as any human can be, and they're reporting being really happy and joyful in life and all that, it's like, it's true. The nutrition conversation, you know, usually gets a backseat to that because they're also probably, you know, really taking care of their bodies too to feel that way. So it's an interesting
right.
overlap.
I agree. Well, and like the partner stuff and
sure.
you know, like they're probably having, you know, pretty good relationships and
right.
they're probably, you know, part of that is, you know, the partner supporting them often nutritionally in pregnancy.
Totally.
Like, oh, he brings me breakfast every morning before I get out of bed so I don't puke or whatever.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Like it all
yep.
ties together. And I mean, even with the Brewer diet, right? They talk about how stress increases your need for calories and protein and carbs and all of it. Like, and so.
What is
yeah,
that noise?
What
is that noise? Yeah.
Maybe it's the wind. It's the icy part of the wind.
Yeah, it's really loud, but I guess that's what we get for doing this in real life here.
Is it less loud now?
Now it is. Yeah, it was pretty intense there for a moment. That's better.
Shielding my microphone.
Yes, shield the microphone. That's the key. Yeah. Well, anything else? Yeah, go ahead.
No, just that's it. Just that those aren't separate topics, you know, that you're supposed to add more to your checklist if you're right. feeling stressed out.
Of course, of course.
And I know, like, in my last pregnancy, I needed, like, probably 6 extra, like, check marks for the amount of stress I felt.
Sure.
Which is not good, and I, you know, so I was, like, working on both ends of that.
Sure, but. Yeah, and that's, I think, something that surprises people sometimes, at least, you know, that's what I see. Somebody that has a stressful job or is on their feet all the time or has other emotional stressors, you know, sometimes coincidentally or not, those can be the people that are like a little bit more resistant to like looking at their diet. And so when we do, and I make some kind of statement about that, they seem surprised. It's like, oh, but I am getting the 2,500 calories. It's like, yeah, but you're like,
yeah,
is requiring more. So yay, that's awesome that you can do that part. And now, you know, you're just in a spot where you might need more right now.
Mhm. Oh, I'm back at my house.
Nice. Well, we always wind up like coming full circle. It's pretty amazing. We must have like this, you know, subconscious timer going on in our heads from talking together so much, and our routes are all right. plotted out.
Yes.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, to our walk and talk. We are literally walking. Someone had asked. They thought that was like a joke or something. No, we're literally walking and we're literally talking. And you hopefully got out to listen to this podcast while you were walking. Let us know your feedback. You can always leave a review on iTunes, which I know is hard. Believe me, I have people tell me all the time how hard it is to deal with iTunes. But if you really love our podcast or you want to share an idea, that would be a really great way to do that and make sure that other people find it too. So please do that on iTunes and stay tuned for the next one.
Do you ever talk about some of our other big offers at the end of our podcast?
You can go ahead. I do occasionally, but go for
it. Well, I was going to say that our 2018 IndieBirth Conference and Retreat is going to be awesome, and we're going to have lots of really great sessions, in addition to walk and talk just like this, more informally during breaks and such. So if you want to come do that in person with us, that's going to be in May 2018. It's the 18th through the 21st. And you should go check out IndieBirthConference.com for more information about that. And then we're also enrolling for our second year, our second incoming class of IndieBirth Midwifery School. So if you would like to be a midwife, you should go to IndieBirthMidwiferySchool.com or reach out and talk to us about that as an option. So that was
yeah,
my plug.
Sounds good. That's a great plug. I know. I do usually end with the school, so thank you. All right, everybody. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.